First of all, I want to thank the elders of the congregation that have allowed the men of the congregation the opportunity to preach once a month and give Nathan a little break. And I truly enjoy doing this, and I think it's important for the young men to also have the opportunity to preach so that they can all grow in their faith. You know, there's a pervasive problem or question in everybody's mind, especially those that are not of the household of God, and that is, am I worthy of God's love, compassion, mercy, and forgiveness? It's a question of, does my life matter? And I know that there's people that have gone through this at various points in their lives asking this question, you know, is this, you know, what is it all about? What is life all about? What am I doing here? And, you know, you could spend years trying to find that answer, and a lot of people do spend a lot of years trying to find that answer. So, it shouldn't surprise you when I say from man's standpoint, no one is worthy. No one is worthy. Isaiah 64:6 says this, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." So, you know, can you imagine that when you, you know, before I obeyed the gospel, that was one of the things that I always, when anyone tried to study with me, that was my comeback. It's, I am not a bad person. You know, I'm a good person. Look at all these good things that I've done. And Isaiah says, they're nothing but filthy rags. Kind of puts me in my place, doesn't it? And in Romans 3:23, the writer says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by the grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Romans 3:10, which says, "As it is written, there is none worthy, not even one." But it's never been about me. It's never been, have I been good enough and to do this and that for God? The question really is, why does God still consider me for His mercy, for His forgiveness, for His redemption? You know, it's if that does not put you in awe, then you have no feelings. Because when you consider all the goodness that you can provide, that's never going to be good enough for God. Anything that we can create or do is never going to be enough. But even though we fall short, even though we sin, God still cares for us. And we should hold that in awe. Because no matter how short I fall, no matter what type of individual I've been in the past, God still loves me. And He loves you as well. So, God still found us worthy to send His Son to die for us. That's 1 John 2:2. And it's exactly because we don't deserve that, like I said, we should stand in awe that God still cares for us and shows us His mercy and shows us His forgiveness and shows us His love. And and he has given us the ultimate sacrifice and his son dying for our sins. And that's wonderful news for me and for you and for the rest of the world, is that God still cares. And God still finds us worthy. But we need to remember who we are as Christians. You know, the writer of Psalms 8, verses 3 to 4 writes, "When I consider your heavens and your work and the work of your fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you should care for him." And I think that's a valid question, is, Lord, why do you care for me? And it's because he loves me. It is because I am, as well as everyone else here, created in his image. Genesis 1:26-27 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fishes of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." It says, God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, made him male and female. He created them. And again, a little bit further down in Genesis 2:7, says that, "Then the Lord formed man from out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the tree of knowledge, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil was there." So, you know, when we look at ourselves, you know, a lot of times we can be very critical about ourselves. No one is harder on me than myself. You know, when I consider and look at what I didn't do during the week, because it's very easy for me to remember all the good things I did during the week, but when I look at everything I did during the week or didn't do during the week that I should have done, you know, it does make me wonder, you know, why did God still concern with me? Now, the scriptures reveal that the created order emerged out of the spoken word of God. However, when God created man and woman, we're told that they were fashioned out of dust, out of the earth, and breathed life, and breathed the breath of life into them. We are created in his image. And we should understand that that doesn't mean that because we physically look this way that that is what God's image is. It is not. We need to understand the full character of God. Understand his love, understand his compassion, understand his mercy, and everything else that goes with being the Almighty Lord. And so we look and we consider, you know, okay, so we're in the creation of God. He cares for us, and that's why he's offered all these gifts to us. So what does he want me to do with them? And it's very simple. Is that God wants us to accept the peace from coming to know that he longs for us. He wants us to be with him. We are his creation. And just like when we have children and something happens to them, we're concerned. If you've ever had a child that gets in trouble, you know, it hurts. It truly hurts. Now think how God feels when he looks at his creation, which was, for all practical purposes, perfect. God said that everything that was created, it wasn't just good. It was very good. Very good. And so, you know, we need to understand what it is that we're supposed to be doing to please God. You know, God does expect us to be like Him. He said, I am holy and you should be holy. And so, when we consider ourselves as Christians walking in this world, we need to examine ourselves, you know, and understand God created us for a specific purpose. First of all, He wants to have a relationship with us. Just like as parents, we want to have a good relationship with our children. And it's the same with God. And He has made that relationship possible through His Son, Christ Jesus. Jesus came to die for us when we were rebellious against God, when the only thing we deserved was justice from God. He extended mercy and forgiveness. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I think, or may have been last week, we were studying Nathan has been preaching on the book of John, and we covered the crucifixion. And as we went through it, it was something extremely brutal what our Savior went through. And He didn't have to. He chose to do so because that's what God asked Him to do for us. So that we don't have to pay the price. Yes, it's true that we all, unless Christ comes soon, we're all going to die. But we shouldn't have any fear in dying because we know that death is not the final phase. That's just a certain thing that happens to us as we live in this world. Our hope is in glory with Him. And that's what we strive for. And God wants that special relationship. And He said, you know, take this gift that I'm offering. It's free. And I'm amazed at how many people will look the other way. I'm amazed at how many people would say, well, it's not for me because, you know, Robert, I have been such a great sinner that God could never possibly forgive me. And I direct him to Paul. That's what Paul called himself, the chief of sinners. But God still forgave him. There is nothing that should keep us away from having that relationship with God. We could never earn it by ourselves, but it is being offered as a gift. Now, the other thing we need to consider is that we need to set our minds and our heart on seeking God. And in the First Chronicles 22:19, it said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And that was Isaiah 55:6. And then First Chronicles 28:9 says, if you seek Him, He will be found by you. So if you're looking for the answer, He's there. He's there, and He provides so many opportunities for those that do not yet know Christ. That, you know, if you're in this congregation, there are many, you know, we have two elders, we have many men, and we have an evangelist that are able to study with you. And the reason for studying is to understand that God does not want any of us to be lost. He has a great patience. But someday that patience will run out. And we honestly need to take a good hard look at our lives and say, where am I falling short? Where can I do better? And then, when, you know, once we have this great relationship with God, we can, we need to understand what we need to do to please Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. You know, it is amazes me that when someone will tell you they believe in God, but they don't believe in the Scriptures. That they believe in God, but they don't think they need to be faithful. That they believe in God, but it's got to be on their own terms. Well, when God says that we need to have faith to please Him, it has to be the genuine article. True faith. And the only way you can learn what the true faith is to study the Scriptures so we can understand what it is that we need to be doing. In Colossians 1, verse 10, it says that we should walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruits in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, as we walk our lives, how, when do we walk with the Lord? Is it Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, Sunday evenings, or is it every day? Every day. Should be every day. Every day that, you know, we should be walking with the Lord and being reminding of what it is that pleases Him. And for me, you know, sometimes it's very easy, and I have to admit sometimes it's very hard. It's very hard when I have things that happen in my life that kind of puts a bump or a barrier in what I'm trying to do. And this is one of the things that Satan does, is he's going to put every barrier that he can in front of you. And the barriers he's going to put in front of me are different than the barriers he's going to put up for you. Because he knows how to get me. And then in Ephesians 6:6 it says, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as a bondservant in Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And the indication here is that, you know, it's real easy to give answers to people we don't like. And it's very easy for us to, you know, when it says eye service or lip service, is somebody asks you something or you're supposed to do something, oh yeah, I'll do it. And, you know, this is one of the things I need to work on, because my wife will tell you that sometimes she'll ask me to do something and my answer is yes. But then it takes me a long time to get to it. And it's because my priorities are not her priorities, but I need to do better. Because if it's important enough for her to ask, it's important enough to do. Even if it is just taking out the trash. And Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the spirit on the things of the Spirit. So, you know, our thoughts every day, you know, when we're doing things, is where does our thought reside? Are we thinking about the things of the world, or are we thinking about the spiritual things? And sometimes we can start out with thinking of spiritual things and be kind of distracted very easily. But if we want to walk with God, you know, we need to understand where the focus should be, where our priorities should be. And Hebrews 13:6 says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And, you know, a lot of times we may think that I'm not able to do certain things. You know, somebody's already doing it. Well, I'm not going to worry about it because somebody else is already doing it. But for us to grow is we need to accept the responsibility that as Christians and as children of God, we take care of each other. Now, it doesn't matter if somebody's already providing meals for a person that needs it. It should be my responsibility as well. You know, just because, you know, if we look at our chart back here for the Quins, you know, there's a lot of empty spaces. And so if we want to be pleasing to God, we need to do good when we have opportunities. And we have a lot of opportunities to do good. And then we need to try to discern out what pleases God. That's Ephesians 5:10. And the only way we're going to discern what pleases God is through study. It doesn't do any good when you come to services and then leave. And that's one thing I've noticed in several congregations I've been and visited, is that, you know, everyone is here for services, but for Bible class, we just have a small number that remain. And the same thing is true for Wednesday nights. Question is, how can I truly discern what the will of God is if I'm not studying? Now, I'm not saying that if you're sick and unable to do certain things that you need to be here, but if you have the opportunity to be here and stay here to study and truly understand what God's requirements are, then we should do it. And finally, Malachi 6, verse 8, puts it all into perspective. It says, old man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Very simple, was it? And the last part that I want to touch on is God wants us to love each other. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, he's asked a question. And he responds with this answer. It says, I think he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And, you know, you look back and think, you know, it's easy to love God. It's not as easy to love my neighbor, especially when he rubs you the wrong way. And when the neighbor is also my enemy, it's even harder. But how can we show the true compassion and the true nature of God if we're not willing to love everyone? Our neighbors, our friends, our families, our enemy. It's not enough just to say I love God, but there's other people that we need to love. And you ask why? It is because we are all created in the image of God. Doesn't matter what color we are. Doesn't matter whether we're enemies of our ideology. They're still created in the image of God. And so we must learn to love them. God doesn't expect anything different from you than what he expects from me. To know and please him, to willingly follow Jesus, and to genuinely love and be committed to others. It's a challenge. But as it is written, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. God will always be with us. And so we need to remember that. When it comes to God's desires, things aren't complicated. I think we're the ones that make it complicated. He just wants us to love one another. And it starts by loving God and having a positive attitude about ourselves, loving ourselves and loving our families and friends and everyone that we come across in this life. Then one final thought. Gary Brian Blair, who's a highly focused trainer, organizer, said this, and I think it's very appropriate. Every choice carries a consequence. For better or worse, each choice is the unavoidable consequence of its predecessor. There are no exceptions. If you can accept that a good choice carries a seed of its own punishment, why not accept the fact that, or excuse me, if you can accept that a bad choice carries the seed of its own punishment, why not accept the fact that a good choice yield desirable fruit? There is one question that we need to answer for ourselves is the question of whether we are going to be obedient to God. Very simple question. And the answer is yes, I will be obedient. No, I will not be obedient. There is no middle ground. If you say, I am neutral, then you make your decision. That means you're not with God. And we need to remember what the worst consequence is of making the wrong decision. And that is being separated from God forever. Not just for a couple of years or a couple of months or a couple of billion years, forever. We must understand certainly that God does not need us, but we certainly need God. And that's what we need to focus on, is what am I going to do with my life? Am I going to just go through life asking the same question over and over again? It's what is it all about? Am I worthy? The answers have already been provided. And now God says, take my hand. For my yoke is light and easy. And who would not want to be with our Creator for the rest of eternity? It's a very simple question, and the choice we make carries terrible consequences if it's the wrong one. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to do a lot of soul searching and ask yourself, what is it that keeps me from obeying the gospel? And if you have questions, you need to ask them of Nathan or the elders, your parents. so that you will truly understand what God's will for us is. And if you're not taking advantage of His free gift, then where will you spend eternity? That's the question. Same thing with having sin in our lives. We've obeyed the gospel. We have sin in our lives. Nobody knows about it, just me. Now, there's another person that knows, and that's God. God always knows what's in our heart. And sometimes we do need the prayers of the congregation to help us along, because it is a burden that we don't have to carry by ourselves. That's why God gave us the spiritual family, to carry each other's burden. And, you know, I assure you, life has its ups and downs. And sometimes it feels like you have more downs than ups. But God will never, never leave things for you to suffer by yourself. He always provides a way down. He always provides assistance when we need assistance. But all we need to do is ask. That's my lesson. I would ask, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you know, reconsider. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we're here to help. If anyone is subject to the need.